Okay, we're going to start in the book of Jeremiah this morning in chapter 15, in verse 16. And years ago, I heard this verse taught by a man named Victor Paul Wirwell. We all called him Dr. Wirwell, affectionately. And I remember him teaching about this, saying that everybody rejoices at the things God does for them. When they get a prayer answered, when they get healed, when they get a need met, when they see a miracle, it's always exciting. And everybody loves that. But he said the ones that are really grown up and develop a maturity in the word will rejoice as much as the word itself as they will with the things that the word promises and the results that you get from the word. And that really hit me at the time. I was a young man, and I said, I want to be that kind of person who rejoices at the word of God. And Jeremiah, who wrote the book of Jeremiah, said this in verse 16. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now, he rejoiced at the word of God itself. The words were found, and he ate them up. He devoured them. He read them and took them into himself. And there's a backstory to this, and I'd like to share that with you. First of all, go to the first chapter of Jeremiah just to get a little information. In verse 1, when you read these books of the prophets, many times there's a little introduction that seems like irrelevant information, but it's always actually very relevant. Verse 1 says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Okay, so when you just read this for the first time, it just sounds like foreign words and names and things, and might not have a lot of relevance to your mind. But remember this, Jeremiah was the son of who? Hilkiah. His father's name was Hilkiah, of the priests. His father was a priest. So Jeremiah was the son of a priest named Hilkiah. And the word of the Lord came to him in the days of who? Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Now, this will take on greater significance when you go to 2 Kings in chapter 22. Verse 1 is, and we'll learn a little bit about Josiah, the king, and how God's words were found. So in chapter 22, verse 1, it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah and Baskath. So he was 8 years old. His father was Ammon. His grandfather was Manasseh. His great-grandfather was Hezekiah. Now, there's a name you might recognize, okay? Because Hezekiah was one of the great kings who trusted God. It was in the days of Hezekiah that the Assyrians were attacking one country after another. And they took Israel, the northern kingdom of Israel, and they took it away captive. And they took the cities of Judah, and they surrounded Jerusalem. And they sent messengers to say, why don't you just surrender? You know, we'll take you to a place that's like your own. We'll give you farms and land and take good care of you. But don't let Hezekiah, the king, persuade you to trust in your God. Because your God's not going to save you, like all the other gods of all the other nations didn't save them. And the king went to God. And there was a letter that was sent to him. He spread it out before God. Read this. And God told Isaiah the prophet, tell him, you don't worry, I'm going to defend the city for your sake and for David's sake, your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. And all the great army of 180,000 soldiers that were surrounding the city were killed overnight by an angel of God. During that time also Hezekiah was sick, and he was 39 years old and about to die. In fact, the prophet Isaiah told him, you're going to die. And he prayed to God, he cried to God, and God said, okay, I'm going to let you live another 15 years. And he told Isaiah to go back and tell the king, you're going to live another 15 years. And as a sign that he would do this, he had this shadow of the sundial go back 10 degrees. So you might have heard those things recently in other teachings. So that was Hezekiah. During the 15 years that he lived after that, his son Manasseh was born, because Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign as king. Manasseh did not have the same love for God that Hezekiah did, unfortunately. He reigned for 55 years, and he brought idols, statues of other gods, made altars to other gods, Baal worship, all the terrible things that God hated, Manasseh did. And he said he shed a lot of innocent blood. So innocent people that loved God were killed by Manasseh. And this went on for 55 years. Sometimes we think, you know, you get a bad president, and when is that 4 years going to be over? I mean, imagine 55 years of this. And then when he died, his son Ammon took over, and he said he was even worse than his father. But he only reigned for 2 years. Because he was killed by servants in his own household. They conspired against him and killed him because they said, enough of this. But the people that killed him were killed. And then Ammon, who was only 24 years old when he died, had a son named Josiah who was 8 years old. And they made Josiah king as an 8-year-old boy. So that's the backstory here. One thing about Josiah that we learn in verse 2 of 2 Kings 22, says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, so if it was the 18th year, and he started reigning at 8 years old, he's now about 20, right? Now who was there by the 18th year of Josiah? Jeremiah the prophet, who the word of the Lord came into him in the 13th year of Josiah, right? Jeremiah is not mentioned in 2 Kings, but we know that he's there because in the book of Jeremiah, he said in the 13th year of Josiah, the word of the Lord came to him when Jeremiah was a very young man, and he was the son of Hilkiah the priest, right? You can connect the dots like this. It's kind of exciting when you can do that. So it was the 18th year, in verse 3, came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, the temple, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest. Well, who's Hilkiah? That's Jeremiah's daddy, right? Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, right? He said, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, and have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. During that reign of Manasseh, the temple of God fell into disrepair. Big cracks, you know, rotten wood, stuff like that. So they had carpenters and masons to fix it up. Verse 6, unto carpenters and builders and masons to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. This book of the law had been there all along, but nobody had read it over the past 57 years during the terrible reign of Manasseh and his son. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it to the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Chafin read it before the king. It's the book of the law. It would be the first five books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And he read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. He tore his kingly robe. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Azariah the servant of the king, saying, Go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Azariah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her, and she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into the grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. So the rest of the story is that the king made a covenant before God and all the people that we will obey every word that's written here. And he took down all the idols and the statues and the altars to the other gods. And he went even to the north country of Israel, and he took away all the idols that he could find there. And the priests of the false gods, he killed them, and he burnt their bones upon the altars of the false gods. In fact, there was a prophet many hundreds of years before this happened that said that there would be a king of Judah named Josiah that would do these things. And he fulfilled all those things. And he thought, well, perhaps if we clean house and if we're obedient, then we can prolong the devastation that was going to happen because of what Manasseh, his grandfather, and Amon, his father, had done. And unfortunately, after Josiah died, he had a son that went right back to Baal worship and did all these things. And it wasn't long after that that the Babylonians did come and burn the city and destroy the temple and, you know, take everybody captive for 70 years. And it was Jeremiah the prophet that warned them, warned the kings again and again that this would happen and to turn back to God. And after Josiah died, they refused to listen to him. But Josiah himself, he took the word of God to heart. Now, some of the things that he would have read to let him know that this is going to happen, if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 1, All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. This is Moses speaking to the people of Israel. 40 years after they left Egypt, right before he died, he's 120 years old, and he's talking to the second generation of the people that came out of Egypt that are getting ready to go into the promised land. Verse 2 says, And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So God fed these people, and there were at least 3 million. And there was no food in the wilderness. God rained down what, like little bits of, they called it manna. Manna means what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. They'd never seen it before. But it was edible. And God provided this for them every, well, 6 days a week. It was never manna on the Sabbath day. But 6 days a week, there'd be manna on the ground for them to collect. They were supposed to collect so much. And the sixth day, they were supposed to collect twice as much, so they wouldn't have to collect it on the seventh day. So every week, for all those 40 years, God fed them with this stuff and provided water for all these people. Imagine a city bigger than Philadelphia being fed every day by God in this way. But he said it wasn't just the bread, it was the words of instruction that let them know what to do with it, how to collect it, how much to collect. And it was the bread and the word that sustained them. Because if it was just the bread, they would have to figure out for their own selves how to manage it, and everybody would be in disagreement with each other how much you should collect, when you should collect it. And all. But God gave the words to Moses and told the people, this is what you do with the manna. Okay? So it's not the bread only, but the words that come out of the mouth of God that man lives by. Verse 4 says, thy raiment wax not old upon thee. Do you have many garments that are just as good 40 years later as they were when you just got them? Neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God chasteneth thee. It means he trained you, he instructed you, he taught you. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear or reverence him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. So imagine Josiah reading that, saying, oh, look what great things God has done, but look what terrible things we have done. Look what my father and my grandfather did, worshiping other gods, bringing other gods into the temple of the true God, and killing innocent people. And if you read on, you read about the blessing of keeping the covenant for Israel and the curse if they would break it, how that they would fall into poverty and sickness and defeat before their enemies. And Josiah saw all that, and it just tore his heart. So that's why he tore his clothes. He took this word of God seriously, and he knew that every word of this word of God was important. And he read it himself, and he read it to the people, and he read it to the leaders, and he took action on it. And he took very, very bold action. And Jeremiah rejoiced that the words were found. Jeremiah, the prophet, ate him up. He had already received revelation from God and knew that these are the words written down by Moses that came from the same God who's been speaking to me. And he had great joy and rejoicing. But then when Josiah died and they went back to Baal worship, he had a tough job of telling the people that they were doing what was wrong before God, and they put Jeremiah in jail and they treated him very badly. But Jeremiah's life was spared at the end when so many others were killed. The bad things happened. Now, these things are, it's all Old Testament, right? It's not written to us. But go to Romans chapter 15 in verse 4. Has something to say about these things that were written aforetime. Because we're to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? Now, not every word that's in the Bible is addressed to us. Much of it is addressed to Israel, right? Some of it's addressed to other nations. But there are sections that are addressed to those that believe in Jesus Christ, like we do. The book of Romans is one that's written to those that already do believe in Jesus Christ, like we do. And in verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," like all the Old Testament scriptures, "were written for our" what? "For our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." So is every word of God still important to us, whether it's addressed to us or not? It's all for our learning, right? If it's for our learning, what should we do?
Learn it.
Yeah. So I've heard some say, "Oh, it's only for our learning," and they never read it. Well, if it's for our learning, we should learn it. It only makes sense. That's what it's for. Because man doesn't live by bread only, but by how many words that proceed out of the mouth of the Lord?
Every word.
Everyone. Yeah. Jesus Christ quoted that verse when he was tempted by the devil after not eating for 40 days. And he said, "Hey, if you're the Son of God, why don't you take those stones and turn them into bread so you have something to eat?" And he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." And the devil didn't have anything more to say about that topic, so he tried something else and failed every time because Jesus Christ knew the word of God. But it really is every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. So one thing I'm doing this year is reading through the whole Bible again.
Awesome. Uh-huh. Do you have your bookmark?
Well, funny you should ask.
Oh, you made new ones.
We made new since I grew the beard. So we have a new bookmark, and it's Greg Earle's 5-step plan for reading through the entire Bible. You know, there are many different plans for reading the Word of God, like through the year, and they'll tell you which sections to do. The simplest one is just to start at Genesis 1:1. Read as much as you like. Place this bookmark where you stopped reading. Start reading again from where you left the bookmark. Repeat the above steps until you reach Revelation 22:21. It's very simple. You can do it in a month, you can do it in a year, you can do it in 5 years, it doesn't matter. You just pick up where you left off. In between reading the whole Bible, you can read other things. You know, spend some time in the epistles that are addressed to those that already believe in Jesus Christ. But take a Bible and, you know, here's one for you, Barbara.
Thank you.
Yeah. Here's one for you, Mike.
Thank you.
Here's one for you, Brother Doug.
Well, thanks, Greg.
Here's one for you, my wife. You remember what I look like when I'm not home?
You look like an old prophet in this picture.
Yeah. And, another thing you can do, if you have the Bible on your phone, I have several Bible apps. I have eSword that I use for studying. I have Olive Tree that I use just for reading. And in any of these Bible apps, it'll always stop where you left off. So if you want to have just one app just for reading, you know, for in-depth study, just use that for reading and then read a few chapters and then next time you pick up where you left off. So there's no time limit for this. It's easy to do. You can take it in small chunks if you want to, or you can take it in large sections. My recommendation is, if you've never done this before, do it in the King James, because that's the one that we use at Fellowship. You might not understand every word that you read because it's in Old English, okay? But I'd say just read through it as quickly as you can. If you don't understand something, make a note of it, but don't stop to have to figure it out before you continue. You can always go back to it and read it again. You can always ask somebody, do you know what this means? But keep forging ahead. I'd say the quicker that you read through it, with as much understanding, as try to remember as many details as you can. But read through it as quickly as you can, only because by the time you're done, it's in your head. You might not understand everything that's written, but you will have read it. So when you hear a teaching, you've already read that section. You see? It'll be familiar territory to you. After you do it once, I'd say do it again, and then read it in a different version or translation. Maybe one that's easier to read. Maybe the New King James. Maybe the English Standard Version or the American Standard Version or the New International Version, the NIV. They're all good. There's other one like the Young's Literal Translation. There's Rotherham's Emphasized Bible. There's the Amplified Bible or the Lamza Bible. There's great translations that people have worked very hard on. There's actually hundreds of different translations just in English, I think. Many to choose from, but read it through in one given translation, okay? Then read it through again in a different translation just to get it in your head. Because if the only time you have the Bible open is in a fellowship or someone's guiding it to you, you're not going to get the whole thing. I mean, tonight we read a couple of full chapters. This morning, read a couple of full chapters. But when you read extended sections, you get a continuity. You get the flow of it, what we call the scope of the scriptures. And it's kind of like getting a map in your head. When Doug would drive throughout the cities of Allentown, he knows that city. He's driven on all the streets. I know some of the streets of Allentown, the ones that I would normally go to get somewhere. But I don't know all the streets of Allentown, but the more you drive, the more you get it. You probably don't know all the places in the Bible and what it says. There might be
lots of nooks and crannies.
There may be entire books of the Bible that you've never read, or books that you've only read one verse out of because it showed up in a teaching. But if you read the whole book, and it's, if possible, read a whole book at a sitting. You know, if you can't, that's okay. But if possible, and you have the time, read a whole book at once, that you get the whole big picture. And then when we're in study nights and teachings like that, we'll focus on certain places, we'll focus on certain topics, and it'll connect for you after time, okay? You might be reading along and say, I'm not getting anything out of this. I'd say keep reading, because there's a difference between watching like a 22-minute TV show that has a resolution by the end of those 22 minutes and watching an epic film, Lord of the Rings or something like that, or Gone with the Wind that takes 4 hours, where it comes together by the end of that, of the time. There are some things in your life that you'll get right away in bite-sized pieces. There are other things that after years of reading, the light will go on and you'll understand a certain thing that will be so valuable to you at that time, but it will be of such great value because you started reading the whole Bible years before that, you understand? The more of you have the Word of God in your mind and in your heart, the more God has to work with to teach you things as you go along. Things that are already revealed, he doesn't have to reveal to everybody because they've already been revealed and written down, you understand? So if you do this, it will be valuable to you. You might not see the value of it every day that you're reading, but when you complete the whole project, you'll have something that's a treasure to you. Okay? So that's my recommendation. So I'm going to close with prayer.
Thank you.
Dear God, I thank you for your grace and your goodness. Thank you for your word that is such a treasure to us. And we're each one of us so thankful that in our own lives at some point your words were found and we did eat them. And we're continuing to eat them and taking them into our hearts and our minds and our lives. We thank you for those that went before us, men like Moses and Jeremiah and King Josiah and Apostle Paul and so many others that received your word and wrote it down or heard your word and took action upon it and not only enjoyed it for themselves but laid groundwork for future generations like ours, where we get to learn and live according to your word and look forward to the ages to come, because we know that your word is that was written before is all for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope, because we know that the things that you had said years ago have come to pass, and there are things that you have said that are yet to come to pass, but we know that they will very faithfully, just as the things that have already come to pass have. So we thank you for these things, and I pray for everybody that's present here and that's on the line. And we thank you for every good day and every good moment of every day that we enjoy. That's all because you're so good to us. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.